Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am JD Rieger, and we're here at 901 Toys.
901 Toys.
With Harry Connodiciotis.
Connodiciotis.
There we go.
Connodiciotis, because my dad will probably watch this.
I stumbled over that one a little bit that time, and it's weird, I never do. Like, I'm so well-versed, I feel like, in your name.
You've run it so many times.
I've spelled it so many times. Yeah. So we're here to talk about Midtown Con primarily, which is Saturday, April 27th.
Saturday, April 27th
at Black Lodge. But before we dig into that, since we're here at 901 Toys and you are one of the proprietors.
Mm-hmm. Myself and my business partner, Shannon Merritt, who also owns 901 Comics.
Do you mind just telling the backstory of how you got involved here?
Yeah, you know, basically 901 this summer, 901 Comics will be around 8 years, 8th anniversary, and I've been working with them kind of since the start, and it just got to the point where we ran out of room, because we started expanding into more toys, and then it kind of got to the point of, we need a bigger store, or we need to find a second store. And
they still have some toys over there.
There's still some toys over there, yes. Yeah. That, and actually, 901 Comics is going to be doing a remodel this summer, so there'll be a whole new layout over there. Just a little, you know, sneak peek idea.
Cool.
And so basically, it was this spot had come up. This was originally Two Rivers, back pre-lockdown, and which was a great science fiction bookstore that
I believe our friend Jack Alberson played here
a couple times. Yeah, Jack played here. I even played here a couple times.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Right in that room. But yeah, Heather C was a I think friend of mine. I don't know if you were friends with her or familiar with her, but when she left, the spot came up, and actually, hilariously enough, one of the first ideas that I threw at Shannon was that we should make this a dive bar. it's a tiny little dive bar next to the coffee shop, but then the realities of doing that.
Oh,
was
yes.
Like, no, there's the bathroom, not really.
I'd imagine the inspection process and the permit process is slightly higher bar to clear than Toy Story.
Right. And so it became the idea to, let's open a toy store. It's right down the block, you know, and...
Was the toy business starting to become, a significant enough part of the comic shop's business to say, we should just...
Yes, split. Yes. Basically, we were just running out of room for toys, because there is still the slant that it's a comic book shop, so it needs to be books, more books than toys, and so it was kind of becoming this push and pull struggle of, fitting enough, stuff in there.
Well, there's a very interconnectedness to both worlds,
definitely.
I mean, a lot of your toys, I mean, there's probably some Spider-Man and
right, there's
Captain
a lot of
America toys around here.
I mean, all the Marvel DC stuff we have here, and then, of course, all the stuff like G.I. Joe, Transformers, Star Wars, there's plenty of comic books of all that stuff.
Sure.
And so basically that was the main thing, was that we need another space just for toys. And then also the idea of getting into vintage toys, because, displaying vintage toys kind of takes a little bit more than just throwing new toy boxes on, on the pegs. And so...
With both the comic and the toy store here, do you think part of the reason why it's been so successful is because it was an underserved area in that regard?
Definitely. I mean, everyone always says, oh, I remember when we had Toys R Us. I remember when we had KB Toys. We don't have these toy shops anymore.
Remember when we had Memphis Comics and Records on Highland.
Oh, yeah. Memphis Comics and Records on Highland. And these type of shops. I mean, a lot of them, after the 90s comic boom, bubble burst, a lot of the stores closed in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then just the transition of malls not being the way they used to be, so you don't have toy stores in malls anymore, and of course Toys R Us being long gone by that point. So yeah, there was kind of a market for it that
actually
has been popping up.
There's a mini Toys R Us inside Macy's.
Oh, is it here in Memphis?
Yeah, there has been for a few months, but
okay.
But also I think Macy's is closing.
Okay. I had heard that there was going to be that was going to happen, but I didn't know that Memphis was getting one. I thought that we weren't going to be a town.
No, it was. It's been in there.
Okay.
I've gone in there looking, hoping to find
in Wolf Chase or one
Oak Court.
Okay.
Oak Court has
okay.
a little Toys R Us. But okay. it's not great. I mean, it's some Mario stuff, some Barbie stuff.
Right.
That's about it.
I'll have to go check it out and see. Get some old vibes.
There is a clearance table. You might score some stuff
at
the store.
Okay. There's a lot. Well, it's funny because the clearance tables, you go, there's a lot of, you know, the Rosses and Five Belows and the Ollies that seem to be eating up all the clearance stuff that gets left over from the Walmarts and the Targets.
You know who else is a good source for, I find, cheap wrestling toys at Burlington Coat Factory?
Burlington, too, yeah, which I think is kind of hilarious that they have got into the clearance toys item.
I've scored a few sweet AEW wrestling figures at Burlington Coat Factory.
Well, we have expanded also to the Antique Warehouse Mall on Summer by Hollywood.
That's one of my things to ask you about.
Yeah, I just made a post today, actually, because we've got a booth there and just been stocking up. And actually,
it's right across from your personal booth.
Right across from my personal booth, which my personal booth is basically all records and comics and pinup girl stuff.
And some knickknacks and little knick-knacks, toy
there's
type stuff.
Yeah, there's knickknacks and vintage stuff and like, you know, I was in there last vintage-y week. Things of like, I guess what you would call antique, you know, type of stuff. But
so what came first, like your involvement in the stores or you're having a booth? Like, how did you get into the collectibles game in general?
Well, really, I'd always been kind of enjoyed it, been buying
as
stuff.
As a collector.
Yeah, since I was a kid. I mean, like,
we can go comic books, we can go records,
we can go
toys,
back, we can go, all of it. We can go way back to, you know, seeing Star Wars in 1977 and, you know, being stuck in Greece in 1980 and just like buying stuff and reading comic books and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was always a thing. And then when 901 Comics was originally opening, I had sold the... Hold on one second.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do we have a purchase, young lady?
She just found something she just has to have.
All right. You know,
Garbage Pail Kids.
You know what? I kind of... I've always thought that this was a really cool...
Mama was an 80s kid. Yeah. So she's an old soul and she likes that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because we had some of the original McNuggets. And they sold like hotcakes.
Did you know, and I'm sure you do know because it's your business... The McDonald's, like the old school 80s, like Transformer, like McKids or what, those characters.
Oh, yeah,
like the toys,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Worth so much money.
Yeah.
Like if they're in good, pristine condition. Which is kind of funny to me.
It's, you know, it's wild what people collect.
I know.
And what we assign value to.
But it unlocked a core memory because I had those growing up. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot about those.
Yeah. Cool. 4606. Okay. And our card reader is right there.
I hope, can I put the chip in? Like, if it's, okay, because I don't think the reader, for whatever reason, it won't work on my card.
And we're having a toy con. It's Comics, Toys, and Records at Black Lodge, April 27th.
Ooh.
Kids 12 and under are free. You can pull your card out. Would you like me to text you a receipt?
That's fine.
Okay.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, what's the phone number?
We'll bleep this out, by the way.
5004. Yeah.
They're going to hear my horrible blah.
You could have just said 8675309.
555.
You know?
8667. Yep, that's right. That would be clever. Y'all have a good day.
All right, thank you for coming in.
Where were we?
So, actually, I could say this. What's funny is... there's a Murphy's connection and a P&H connection, because Jamie, Shannon's business partner at the comic book store, used to cook at P&H Cafe, and he was friends with Stephen from Murphy's, who was the bartender at Murphy's. And Stephen had hooked me up with Jamie, so we became friends, and then when they were opening the store, they were buying up product, and I sold them a collection to help open the store. And then just kind of turned into the whole thing of like, let me get a job over here too and help, you know, part time and kind of help these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I always loved it. And I always thought that this would be a perfect area for a comic book store anyway. I mean, I live two blocks away. I've been living in Cooper Young for 20 years now.
Yeah, it's always been fertile ground for, like, record stores.
Record stores, yeah.
And there's a bookstore that's been successful for I don't know how many years.
Right.
So you would think that sort of thing would just be a natural fit in Midtown, but it's never, you know, really.
Well, I think the time period, especially with all the Marvel movies at that point being so huge, was the perfect time to open a comic book store. And so as things grew, and then, of course, I was, you know, kind of busy with doing the studio stuff with Five and Dime Recording and busy with the band. So it was a good thing to work in part time. And then I got more and more involved in it. And And then basically, like, the opportunity, a friend was at the warehouse mall, and they had open spots, and so I was like, let me go ahead and throw a booth in here. And then it was kind of like, oh, this opportunity came up, this would be a good opportunity. So, like I said before about the, you know, the comic shop being kind of like packed in, and we only had so much room, so we needed to expand.
Yeah.
And so when this space came open, it came up perfectly, which, you know, also kind of runs with the whole Midtown Con thing of like, I often say that this street is, I refer to it as the Memphis Collector's Row, because you got the record store, you got the comic book shop, you got the toy shop. And most other cities,
and
you
the bookstore.
And the bookstore, yeah, the bookstore.
Let's not leave out the bookstore.
Yeah, yeah, I can leave out the bookstore. But, you know, but there's something about that kind of, you know, that condensedness that Memphis does all in one, you know, yeah, in one block, which makes it, I think, it also, like, one of the things that people like coming
in. Do you see a lot of people coming in with, like, goner bags? Mm-hmm. Or,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Or Birch bags?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, at the comic book shop, my favorite story, because basically, someone walks in with a record bag, I'm always like, oh, what'd you buy?
Yeah.
You know, and this kid walked in one day, and I'm like, oh, what'd you get? And he's like, I got this Guns N' Roses album. And he pulls the record out, and it's an AC/DC record. And I'm like, no. You mean AC/DC? And he's like, yeah, AC/DC. Like, I'm like, sure, you know. But that's also part of it, you know, and like Billups from Goner comes in here all the time and picks up stuff and random toys. And
I see him at the cons.
Yeah, yeah,
he's usually always behind the table.
Yeah, he you know, he has his Kramhold zine that he pushes and his writing, and he's got that great book, the 101 Films to See Before You Die.
Man, I should check that out.
Yeah.
I should actually probably ask him to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
sometime.
Yeah. I know he's hosting like a movie night at, I think, Lamplighter now. But yeah, and so I feel like there's a huge crossover with anything you're collecting. And I get people in here who actually kind of the same thing, who were like, they're coming here, they're going to the comic book shop, they're going to the record store. They're hitting all three places because that stuff just kind of crosses over one way or the other.
How have you seen the collectible scene here in Midtown or in Memphis, whatever? How have you seen it grow or develop over the last few years since you've been really in the game?
Well, you know what? Lockdown did a lot for everyone's hobbies.
And yeah, baseball cards went crazy. I know. I mean, I guess it was the same for everybody.
Yeah, so people were going nuts kind of like collecting stuff or rediscovering their hobbies. And so they were trying to kind of like find something that, you know, during lockdown that they loved. And so I think that became a part of it. What was funny, though, was that the sale of plastic bags of like went nuts, like to the point where like all the distributors were backward on plastic bags. And then I was told that there was also a back order with skateboard wheels, and that the plastic from the comic book plastic bags and skateboard wheels are made from the same plastic. So there was this huge, like,
I remember there was a material shortage too.
Shortage is probably the better way to say it.
Yeah, around vinyl records too. There was one of the materials that they were really struggling to. Why it was taking so long.
Well, the lacquer flyer in California
probably didn't help.
Yeah, because I think that was a big thing too. Because then I think only Japan. There's only one place in Japan that now sells lacquers to cut for records.
So how do you see? I mean, you just expanded into, you know, what is it? Antiques Warehouse? Is
yeah,
that
Antiques
the name
Warehouse.
Of it?
Yeah.
I mean, where can the store go from here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get into a bigger space at some point. Because there's only, you know, so much we can, you know,
just
fit in
just
here.
Just bulldoze Java Cabana.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you never know what's going to happen with this whole building situation with Java and everything. And hopefully Java's going to be around for a long time.
I didn't even know there was a situation with Java Cabana.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that. Yeah. So I was just making a joke. Because they're your neighbor.
Yeah, they're neighbors,
Yeah. Is there a situation with Java Cabana?
No, not at all.
I didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah,
of course, all right. We would hope that one of the spots on the strip where Goner and the comic shop are opens up at one time, and then we would pounce on it. But because
you see, being like next door to the comic shop, and just,
I mean,
like,
that would be
being mega store,
right? That's one thing that we've talked about. Yeah. If like, oh, if somebody moves out, one of the neighbors, we would totally just pounce on it and then just like make it a mega store. You know, and cut a hole through it. Cut a doorway inside so people can walk back and forth to the two sides.
So, I mean, you guys have pretty much every major nerd hobby covered, and that's the, what is that?
That's called? The refrigerator. I can unplug that if that's gonna, that's probably a little loud.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if it's gonna be on for a while.
Let's see. There we go.
Oh,
there
that's good. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
The perils of recording in a in a live an open business.
Open business. Get some soft drinks. You know, they'll stay cold long enough.
So, like, how is there no, like, the only thing I don't see around covered in any of these stores is, like, cards, like Pokemon and or sports cards.
Well, right? There's a whole nother store called 901 Games on Broad Avenue.
Oh, that's the Broad store.
And that does all the gaming stuff and all the cards. Okay. They don't do sports cards there.
That's an underserved
market. But it is like Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, all that kind of stuff. D&D, art, you know, all the you know, RPG games, Warhammer, things like that.
And then there's also a 901 East store.
There's
right?
a 901 East store in Cordova, which kind of combines all three stores. It's 901 Comics, 901 Toys, and 901 Games. So it's kind of all three stores are combined out there.
I've never been out there, but isn't there like a bar or something?
There is a bar. Okay. We had Ming from Comic Book Men come over and tend bar one night.
That's cool.
So
didn't you have one of the Grizzlies do a signing?
Yeah,
there?
I think one of the Grizzlies did a signing there. We
I wanted to
basically
go to that.
It's you know, they serve beer, soft drinks, pizza. Yeah, but in they have trivia nights over there, so we do all the signings out there. It's a big event space, more or less. So
it's quite an empire that you guys have.
It's kind of crazy. Like I said, my business partner Shannon Merritt's responsible for it all, so he's really the Obi-Wan of it all, or maybe he's the Yoda. I don't know whichever Star Wars reference works best.
Well, speaking of seeing an opening and, you know, meeting a need,
yeah.
At what point did you realize that Midtown needed a con?
Well, I think before lockdown, because the original con was supposed to happen in April of 2020, but it was stopped because of lockdown. And I just kind of felt like, you know, really my collecting habits personally are comics, toys, and records. And so I felt like you can do a con, focus on those three things and see how it goes. Like, no celebrities, really. You know, it's just, you know, it's not a signature con. It's a con for vendors to come and sell stuff. And people always, collectors always need to thin the herd every now and then. So I feel like a lot of people who deal at the con are collectors who've been collecting for years, and they're just getting rid of their stuff that they don't want anymore or have doubles of. And so I felt like it was that kind of thing. And because, you know, Black Lodge is not a huge space, we can only fit about 35 vendors. But I just felt like it was a good space.
I mean,
space
it's a big space,
big
for,
space
a
for a venue. Yeah, it's a big space for a venue.
It's not DKDC.
No. It's not a closet. It's not, you
I mean,
know.
It's bigger than the Wrestle Center, really.
Yeah.
It's big, big space.
Big space. So, and I felt like that was the a good way to start.
I don't know why I made that comparison.
And kind of, you know, it's almost as big as the Forum.
It's almost
It's like half the size of the Forum.
It's the Mid-South Coliseum.
Venues, yeah. But I felt like, you know, I dealt with a lot of the Black Lodge people for years, and I've done book shows and everything there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, I definitely run it as way more of, like, a rock and roll show type thing. And sometimes it's kind of funny when I deal with some of the con people who aren't used to, like, the music background and stuff. Being kind of it's like, no, this is
what
this
they
is
don't
how.
Like the DJs or something.
No, just the idea of how things are run, and it's kind of like this is run more like it's a punk rock show. It's not run so much as your traditional like convention.
Like, I mean, I'm curious, how would a traditional convention differ?
Panels, signings, gotcha, celebrities, photographs. And
you're thinking of it more
like
spiritually,
that.
Like you
yeah.
know, you're,
It's more like a, it's to be honest, it's probably more like a hotel record convention.
Or I was going to say like a, you know, a flea market.
Flea market kind of thing. Yeah, kind of a flea market aspect. But now, not to dismay any of that, because in November, we're doing a convention called Memphis Monster Con, which will be at the Pipkin Center.
Is this breaking news?
No, it's been out. It's been announced for a while. There's a website. You can call it breaking news, breaking internet, breaking breaking podcast news. And that will be more of a there's celebrity like autograph type of con.
Like, what kind of folks would you try to bring in for that?
Just, we have, you know what?
Do you already have people confirmed?
We already have people confirmed.
Like, what monsters?
Let me bring it up. And that way I'm not... Let's see. I'm not misquoting anything.
No worries. This is exciting. I could tell. In podcast land, we're all waiting in
I know.
With bated breath.
You know, this latest update on the phone is just like...
Oh, it's a podcast killer.
I know. It's just such a... It's so ridiculous. Here we go.
Okay, here we are.
All right. So, right now, our guests are Ken Forey from Dawn of the Dead, Devil's Rejects, and from Beyond Halloween. We have Felisa Rose from Sleepaway Camp and Death House.
Okay.
We have CJ Graham, who is Jason in Friday the 13th, Jason Lives, Part 6.
Wow. That's
cool. And we have Brett Wagner from Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Crazies. And he will actually be, he's Leatherface, and he will actually be appearing in costume as Leatherface for photo ops.
Wow.
So.
I bet that's a high dollar ticket. I mean, relatively.
Yeah.
For the show.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think we've been able to kind of, we've got a bunch of other guests that we're hopefully to confirm and announce. So as time goes on.
That's
so
cool.
But that is the weekend of November 9th and 10th, Saturday, Sunday. And then after that, on Saturday, December 9th, Saturday, December 7th? Let me see. We might check my calendar real quick.
Yep.
Whatever that Saturday in December is. Saturday, December 7th, though I should remember that date, not just because of
it. It lives in infamy.
It lives in double infamy, actually, but I'll tell you later on about the double. But anyway, so on that day, my friend Barry and I, last year, we started the Memphis Toy Fest.
Okay.
And that is predominantly toys, and it is out at the Great Hall in Germantown.
I was going to ask you how the first one went.
First one went great. We had a ton of people show up. So a lot of cons do a thing called early bird, mm-hmm. where you open an hour early and you pay extra to go in early. And I had
get first pick.
So yeah. I'd never done that with the Midtown Con thing, but we were like, let's try this. Let's whatever. It was like $5 to get in normally, $10 if you're an early bird at 9 a.m. We had 100 people lined up.
Dang.
So we were kind of like shocked by that. So it was a great turnout. It was a lot of fun and a lot of just the toy people hanging out, and that's always the fun part, is that meeting other vendors. And then, I didn't get to do a whole lot of buying because I was, working, but if you call hanging out with toys work. But
so, I mean, aside from the money, you obviously make money running the event or whatever, but is the value to you like long-term, beyond what you sell at the thing? I mean, the connections that you make.
Yeah, it's really a community.
Yeah.
I mean, like anything else, it's surrounding yourself with people, with like-minded people who like the same things that you like, are into the same stuff, and just same mentality, and just kind of the positive side of it all, I mean, it's kind of funny because, I always joke about with the music stuff, it just seems like there's just this nonstop, negative... slaw thing of people being negative about musicians and music and how hard it is and grumble,
especially
in
Memphis.
I love this record by this band, but the other record by the same band fucking sucks, and that kind of negativity.
I thought you were talking about the the Memphis negativity.
Not Memphis.
Nobody comes to shows. I hear that so much lately.
I hear that in every city.
Yeah.
There was a guy in here who was moving cross country, and he had played in some bands of note, and we were talking about just how things are for music stuff, and he was like, yeah dude, it's just like that in this town, it's like this in this town, it's all over now. It's just, you know, it's a struggle to, like, you know, have bands do anything.
It was before the pandemic, but I get the sense that the pandemic has made it even harder. Like, it never even has returned to
it hasn't returned
to where it was before the pandemic, which wasn't great.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I mean, not to go back 20 years, but I mean, yeah, when I moved here, you know, in 02, you know, I mean, there were shows every night that I actually wanted to go see, but not saying that when I was during the same time period when I was in New Orleans and in Chicago and other cities, there also wasn't a lot of stuff going on that I wanted to do and go out every night and see catch all these bands. But Memphis, you know, made it kind of like affordable and possible to do.
Yeah.
And then Memphis also, you know, there's other cities. I'll put more stress on the out-of-town bands that were coming in town and wowing the audience. While I was in Memphis, there was definitely a thing of out-of-town bands coming in town, but then the local bands were the ones who wowed the audience. And there was more, you know,
people were there to see.
Therefore, and there was definitely times where I saw some big out-of-town band come in town, and then, like, you know, the local band opened up and everybody left. That was always kind of a hilarious kind of situation. But every band has to end up goes through that. I mean, I remember that even when I was younger.
Oh yeah,
seeing those situations.
I've seen bands draw 50 people here that would, you know, sell out.
Oh yeah, the other places.
The same size room in Chicago
wherever. Yeah. Well, I mean, perfect example. I mean, you know, years ago, my old band, the Turn It Offs, opened for the Queers here twice, and you know, pretty minimal crowds, I would say. And then a few years later, the Angel Sluts opened up for the Queers in Nashville, and it was packed. And there was just so many people. And it was just kind of like, this, how is this, like, happening?
It's the same show.
It's the same show. How come there's not, you know, 300 people at the show in Memphis, but there's 300 people at the show in Nashville?
It's roughly the same size city. You know, roughly.
Yeah.
Nashville might be a little bigger now.
Right.
But it didn't. Memphis used to be bigger,
right?
But anyway, let's get back to Midtown.
How did we all circle through this? The positivity. And the thing is, when people come in here to the toy shop, they come to the comic shop, they're happy, and they want to talk about their fandom. They want to talk about whatever they're collecting. It's such a positive thing. But like I said, with the music stuff, it just seems like there's so much negativity that happens. But with the toys and the comics, there's so much positivity. Even when you have, like, the older dudes who are grumbling about, like, the state of comics today, and or they were better back in 1970 than they are in today, blah blah blah.
But I paid $2 for this in 1978.
But there's still this positivity that really happens with it all, and so people are in here and they're happy. They want to, like, they, like I said, they want to talk about what they collect. And
well, it's
and
a stroll down memory lane too.
Yeah, it's a thrill of the hunt, discovering something and being like, holy crap, you know, and
can't believe I found this.
And, like, I mean, like, the guy who came in earlier bought that box Transformer. He's like, oh, I've got a huge collection. And that guy was definitely not old enough to have been around, like, buying that stuff in 1983, you know? And so it's interesting how it kind of translates. And even, be honest, like, the 70s Migos over there. I mean, I've got a guy in his, like, 30s who's coming in, early 30s, who's coming up and buying Migos because he just thinks they're super cool. And he was definitely not born, you know, in 1972.
What percentage of the store is used, and what is, you know, from new manufacturers?
I guess we try to keep it kind of half and half. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a pawn shop. You never know what's going to walk through the door, which is kind of a fun aspect, you know, because people come in with stuff. Because, I mean, definitely I get the calls. The call of death, the call that I break so many hearts on is, I've got this great collection of Beanie Babies.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, sorry, we don't do Beanie Babies. And they're just
not,
like,
at all?
Not at all. And
is the market just totally dead on those?
It's just totally dead, yeah.
There's nothing of any value there?
No, not that I'm aware of, unless there's, like, a money laundering thing with, like, the Disney VHS tapes or something that's going on with Beanie Babies. But every once in a while I'll get a call. Got a call yesterday, like, the poor guy. And, like, they're it's always the same. They're so brokenhearted to hear that there is nobody in town who's interested in buying their 500 Beanie Babies.
Aww.
So,
do you find, like, I find at the record shop that people are surprised to find that people are still making records.
Oh, yeah.
Do you people come in here and be like, you mean they're still making Star Wars toys or whatever?
No, not really. But, you know, I mean, I think some of this stuff, they just know that it's just, they're just beaten into their heads that they're just going to, like, keep making more toys over and over again. You know, the record thing is funny, though, because, I mean, I'll be out somewhere and there's some, some old guy, like, people still buy records, and it's like, holy cow. Why would y'all buy this piece of crap when you just listened on your phone?
People are still shocked that, like, either that we still have CDs or that that we don't have as many as we used to.
Right.
Or that, you know, it's like, they still make records?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they stopped in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely sometimes there has been a big thing with some, like, 80s toy lines that just didn't succeed, or they were out for a year, or they had a show for one season, Biker Mice from Mars.
There we go.
A perfect example, you know.
Can I take this down?
Take it down.
We'll show the camera. Biker Mice from
Mars. The guys
Is that,
that
good in the shot, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay. The guy, NACL, the guys who did that Toys Who Made Us show, basically found all these, like, dead properties and bought them up and started making, and so that's been a thing. There has been, Mask has also been a huge thing.
Dude, I was just about to ask, Mask, I almost wrote it down. I was big into Mask as a kid. I had a bunch of Mask stuff that's probably in a, you know, a city dump somewhere.
We've got some Mask stuff, but there was a guy in here earlier looking for Mask.
Wow.
And the story I've been told is that, like, 5 or so years ago, there was some huge warehouse find of, like, unsold product, and it basically brand new in box stuff hit the market, and it just, like, made the interest, like, skyrocket. But there's all these properties. The 80s were definitely kind of, you know, I feel like I say this a lot, it's like the golden age of Hollywood. It's like the 80s were like the golden age of toys. And
it was the golden age of a lot of things. You know, they call it the late 80s, early 90s is the junk wax era of baseball cards, because it was so wildly overproduced. You know, and then it crashed in the early 90s hard.
That same thing in the 90s with comics, you know, it's like the death of Superman, you know, there was all these, like, huge events.
I've got a death of Superman. Do you want to buy that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Dollar. Yeah. But there's, like, there's so many, you know, and, I mean, I hate to say it, Star Trek toys, too, you know, it's, like, so many people.
I'm kind of surprised at how cheap those have gotten.
Yeah, they just never, I mean, I love Star Trek, speaking of which, we need to start the Star Trek podcast where I relate everything to Star Trek.
But, totally.
But
well, we've done it again.
Yeah. It's just wild, like, what stays in, like, what holds its value, what doesn't, but also, like, what's mass-produced. And 90s stuff is extremely mass-produced. So I think that's why when we get 90s stuff in, it's like, oh my god, this is, like, perfect. It's like, well, they made so many of them that it just, you know, there's so many out there that they're still having that second life, if not, I guess at this point, the third life. Hey, what's going on, man? This is Lino. We're doing a podcast right now. But if you want to come in, be a guest star or something.
Oh, I'll just fly.
Yeah. This is our Friday, Saturday, Sunday guy, Lino.
Hey, what's up?
This is JD. That's Eric. And this is Back to the Light podcast, Midtown Con edition.
Nice to meet
you. And we're just, you know, talking about comics, toys, and records. You know,
and I think that's a smooth transition into getting back to Midtown Con, because I'd like for you to maybe tell folks, you know, maybe walk through some of the vendors that are going to be there. What kind of things can folks expect to find?
Well, as the thing goes, comics, toys, and records. But I would say, like, to, you know, not to
if
link
you
it
get
around
more specifically,
but yeah. We have. Who does the Memphis wrestling books?
Mark James.
Yeah, Mark James will be there.
That's cool.
So he's one of those people that kind of, like, has popped in. Of course, Daycare Kids will be there, which, you know, RIP Mr. Robert, but his son Wade is carrying on the tradition. Daycare Kids is a great shop in West Memphis to go see that has comics and toys.
Oh, it's that weird store in West
Memphis.
Right,
the store that I saw right now. Yeah.
I've been over there.
Yeah.
I bought a Daniel Bryan wrestling toy there.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Nice guy.
Parker Hayes, which is one of my friends who kind of got me involved in.
He's got a booth at the antique.
He got me into the antique mall. Yep. And he kind of does trifecta too. He does comics, toys, and records. He's a big record person too. Scotty with Stand It Up. Scotty now makes custom 3D printed stands for all kinds of comics, toys, even cards that he'll special make.
That's cool.
One of our former employees, Weston Hall. He makes custom made dioramas. Let's see, who else would I say? And then our friend Casey Jones, who used to live here, but he now lives in Baton Rouge. He's coming back in town for this, and he's got a wide assortment of comics and toys, a lot of horror convention type thing toys.
That's cool. The Astronomica podcast will be back.
Unfortunately, they will not be there this time. They're sitting this one out.
Goner, will they be back?
Yes, Goner will be there. Okay. Goner, and I hear Shangri-La too will be there.
Yes, in some form of fashion.
Some form of fashion.
I know I'll be there, and I'm bringing some of my own. I'll have some like sports cards and some non-sports. I have some Star Wars cards also.
Yeah, there you go.
And some toys.
A new person, Savage Comics, will be there. They've got tons of comics. One of the anomalies, 901 Vintage Rack, which is more vintage clothing.
Okay.
So. And Robbie House will have a record booth there. He's a local musician and currently a realtor. So he's been selling houses. And I know he just got back from seeing Madonna in Houston.
That's a cool name for a realtor. So,
yeah, Robbie House, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The house always wins.
Maya, who's Redepicted, I guess is how you pronounce it. I can't remember how you pronounce it. But she does all the plushie dolls. Mm. My friend Jeffrey does Jeffrey's Toys. He's got a booth out at The Moment in Time.
Oh, okay.
Out over there.
Oh, yeah, the guy who's got stuff in all the plastic bags.
Yes, he's got a lot of plastic bags.
Yep.
My friend Alex, who does Al's Toy Box, is mostly Star Wars stuff. He's got a lot of Star Wars toys.
Oh, that's cool.
To sell. Bad Dog Comics will be there, which is the imprint from 901 Comics.
Okay.
Indie Thinker Comics, which is a local comic writer and art writer, and he's made a lot of his own comics, but he also deals a lot of comics.
That's
so
cool.
He'll have a lot of his own comics to sell. Russ Thompson.
Friend of the show.
One of the best drummers in Memphis will be there. He also
and a fine
plays.
Children's author.
Yeah, he'll be there selling his books, and he'll be playing this Friday night with the Angel Sluts.
Oh, is he?
He's the drummer for Switchblade Kid now. The last few months.
Okay,
which honestly, you know, here's a weird musical story tie-in.
Okay,
somehow it was easier to find a new drummer than it was to find a new bass player. So our former drummer, Julia Mulheron, got upgraded to bass player, and it was easier to get a new drummer. We ran through a few different bass players once Tony wasn't able to play bass anymore. And
I didn't know you were playing with her either.
Yeah, she's been in the band for years, literal years at this point.
Last band I saw her play in was that jazz band.
Sunway. Yeah. No, she's been playing since before lockdown. We've been playing, yeah.
Small world.
I recorded her teenage band, the Glow Girls, and she's got her own band now called Gooey Tones that just played the other night at the High Tone.
Huh. As a matter of fact, cool.
So Mary Beth, local celebrity tambourine player of the Wailing Banshees, will be there.
We're friends on Facebook.
For Mary Beth made it with all your Anarchy stickers.
That's cool. I should say hi to her in real life, probably.
Yeah, she's a sweet person. But then, then of course, 901 Toys, 901 Comics, Five and Dime Recording, Goner Records, Shangri-La.
All the heavy hitters.
Moulin Bistro has always been a sponsor the last few years.
Oh, okay. And are they going to be there? Are they bringing food?
No, they're not bringing food. Yeah, there's Black Lodge sells its own food and drinks. And of course...
That's true. And they have good food.
Yeah. And of course, Dino's Grill is also a sponsor. Favorite Italian place in town. And Mario's a big comic book collector.
And the Back to the Light podcast.
And Back to the Light podcast is a sponsor. Yeah. And working, too. Yeah. Calling double duty with the Shangri-La.
Yeah. And I think actually Graham from Loose Opinions is going to be our DJ.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to get ready to get to that. Our DJs are Courtney Kitty Cat, who is what is she does the Crosstown stuff, the theater. She books all the theater stuff at Crosstown, or the movie stuff at Crosstown.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Yeah, and DJ Wig Doc, who is Telly, he's not from Memphis. I think he's from New York originally. He's also done spots at Keo.
Okay.
Via Cole from Goner, who is going to be a DJ. He's always been DJ, one of the DJs.
Nice guy.
But he's a nice guy. He's also a good friend of the shop. He comes in here every once in a while and buys stuff. He's got his own weird
friend toy, of Shangri-La.
Fetish, Shangri-La.
Yep.
But he had recommended Telly, and so and I've met Telly several times. He's got a great radio for music, great collection of stuff.
Super cool name. Reminds me of Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always think of Telly Savalas.
But, yeah. You know, I just think of Telly, the Muppet.
The Muppet, of course. but yeah, so that's our four DJs. And Graham.
Back to the Light DJ will be Graham.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, Graham did it, one time a few years ago,
Either the first or second one.
Okay, yeah.
He's a vet.
Is he going to be playing all the Back to the Light hits?
I told him to mix it up. Play some Back to the Light stuff, please, but also, you know, play some Memphis favorites.
Of course. Play all the Al Green.
Be democratic about it.
Be democratic. There you go. And, of course, we'll have our costume contest, which is going to be...
Kids and adults.
And
separately.
Separately, yes. The kids contest will be at 2 o'clock. Adults will be at 3 o'clock. It is going to be hosted by my good friend, Warren Grantham, who is making his comedy comeback. He was on the scene years ago with the Wise Guys Troops and when kind of the improv thing that was going on in Memphis.
That's cool.
So
mad respect for anyone who dares.
He's hilarious. He lives. He actually lives less than a block away from me. He lives on Felix, right down the.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, probably. I don't know, 10 houses down from me. So very, very easy commute. But yeah, so, and that's pretty much, and then of course we're going to have, you know, prizes, gift certificates from all these places as prizes.
I'll give you a t-shirt.
There's no cash prizes, but there's gift certificates from 901 Toys, 901 Comics, 901 Games, Mulan, Goner, Shangri-La.
I will give you a kids and an adult t-shirt.
There you go, kids and adult t-shirt.
From Back to the Light.
And then Dino's is always donate, so it's plenty to do.
Well, cool. I mean, I think we've covered it all. We touched on everything. We touched. Do you want to talk any about the Angel Sluts reunion, which we can't really plug? This is not going to come out in time to plug the show itself.
The show,
but the reason for the show.
Right. So this Friday, April 5th, we're doing. You know, I mean, when two years ago we did an original members reunion show, and like, oh the pain, like the pain of band members. But this is the version 2 lineup when basically the band started touring more in the 2000s
and the original
guys, you know, weren't able to go on tour, so we had to get, you know, subs. And then it's the lineup that played on the last two records.
It's just a little bit of a limp.
It's a little bit, yeah.
It's not a full blown break.
So one of the guitar players, Doyle, Doyle Schaefer. He's been bartending at RP Tracks for years, so I'm sure people who go there know him from there. But basically, sadly enough, there was a fire in his apartment.
Oh, I heard about this story. It's so awful.
Yeah,
his cat
passed away.
I can't even imagine.
Basically lost everything, and so...
That picture of him and the cat.
Yeah. So some of his friends, we got a GoFundMe, and then I was approached about, like, it's like, hey, let's, you know, music is the best therapy. Like, what do you do to get over a tragedy? You know, find some way to...
The GoFundMe met its goal, right?
GoFundMe met its goal. Yeah. It's still up, but it met its goal. And so we decided to do a reunion show with that version of the lineup. Russ, oddly, is going to be playing drums at it, as I mentioned earlier. And what's interesting is that Russ, even though he was not on the albums in that time period, he did a lot of touring with that lineup in the band, so it's kind of appropriate that he's playing drums on it.
That's cool.
But it'll be me and Timmy, the bass player, Doyle on guitar, and then Brian Jett from Six String Jets is the guitar, who has always kind of been an honorary member of the band because our bands play together so much, and he was kind of BFFs with Tony and Shane, the original bass player, guitar player guys. So he knew, he kind of already knows how to play all the songs, probably better than the actual guys in the band do, to be honest.
I remember my introduction to the Six String Jets was because I think we asked the Angel Sluts to be on Makeshift 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And whoever was in the band burned a CD of y'all's song and then put on a song of theirs too and said, here, here's this other band.
Oh, yeah.
Put them on there too if you can.
Okay, so, that's
so
funny.
So we did.
Yeah, yeah. I think I recorded, I think it was the song Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I recorded that. Yeah,
totally
so
was. Funny.
So maybe I was the one who handed in the CD.
Very, very probably.
It might have been. I can't remember. So
that
long
was before
ago.
I really knew you.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, and so that'll be a thing, and it's at the High Tone, and Skinny from the High Tone graciously offered the High Tone up to have the show at, have as
that's
a benefit.
Cool.
Doors are at 8.
It's not gonna get. It's gonna come out after the show.
I know you want to
plug it so
hard. I'm gonna plug it because I'm come out
to this person right here.
This is David. We're doing a podcast, so. He's one of our work study people. He's a senior in high school over at Concord Academy.
Hey, David.
And he's going to high school part of the day and then working at the comic shop the other part of the day.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you have a good time today? All right. Okay, cool. Well, I will see you tomorrow, bright and early at noon. All right, man, you have a good one.
We're probably almost done here. Yeah. Is there any like studio projects or anything you want to hype?
Not right now. We've been working with
other
Julia.
Than the studio exists and people
Julia
can
exists.
Get in touch
yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Julia, we're working on the Gooey Tones record. We've cut a couple of songs for that. The next big, then going to be working at some point on, basically there's a new Switchblade Kid record that's going to come out. So we've written 10 songs and basically we're going to try to find, time to actually start cutting the songs. Hmm. Hopefully maybe next month we'll start tracking. So that's the next big project.
That's cool.
And then the other thing that I'm kind of focusing on with the studio is the reissue of a band of mine from 1993. It's I was in a band called Falling Janice.
Oh yeah.
And the record was
I think we may have talked about this
at some
the last
point.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still in the works.
So it's still in the works. Basically trying to wait for the artwork to get finished and then send it off to the pressers and be done with it. And, you know, have a nice 32-year anniversary of something, you know, a record. But still a great record. You know what? I'll listen to it every once in a while, and I will definitely throw it down deathmatch style to any other of the local records that were put out in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, at that time. Because
no, I've got some legacy reissues
coming
out.
Yeah, so.
I know how it is.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Well, this has been cool. Let's plug the Midtown Con again. Saturday, April 27th at Black Lodge.
Black Lodge.
The toy store here, 901
Toys.
What's the address?
2172 Young Avenue. And you can also come see us at the Antique Warehouse Mall on Summer in Hollywood.
Anything else you want to mention? We can't plug the show, but people can check out the GoFundMe still.
Yeah,
for
you can
friend.
Still check out the GoFundMe for Doyle Schaefer. I'm not exactly sure what the site name is it, but I'm sure if you search around for it enough, there's enough people who have been sharing it. And
for
there
sure.
was an article, thanks to Alex Green, wrote a great article about it for the Memphis Flyer.
And that's got all the info in it,
that's
for sure, the Memphis
info.
Flyer article.
Yeah.
And if people want to get in touch with you for the studio, just Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook, Five and Dime Recording, or just me personally, or you can just come to the store and, hey, Allie, what's going on? And you can come to the store and we can talk about it and you can go the dime, you know, get all the fives and the dimes together. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I think we did it.
All right. Sounds good. High five.
Yep. High five.
High
Thank
five.
You to engineer Eric.
All right, thanks to Eric. Always, Eric was rocking the other night at the High Tone.
With Mystic Light Casino.
Mystic Light Casino. I told him he was going on first. He didn't believe me. He swore he was going on second. But what happened? You went on first. There you go.
Love it.
So.
And let's also thank Jared and the Simpletones for the theme music. Is there anything I'm leaving out? All right. That's the show. Take care, y'all.
All right. See y'all next time.